trolley back alley, heading down to Nutmeg Junction. On the trolley back alley, heading through some Nutmeg Function. All the people we see and the places we go, we'll have you right back by the end of the show. We're on the trolley back alley, heading down to Nutmeg Junction.
If you want people to remember a list, always use the number 3. They say 3 is a magic number. Movie trilogies, before studios got greedy, thrived on the number 3. Then there's celebrity deaths. Seems it's always 3. Even comedians use the rule of 3. Now it was my turn. I had a case I'd been working on since episode 11, thanks to my former partner, Tommy Good News Newsome. Maybe it's new to some listening now, maybe not. But as I sat on the train heading north, I was thinking about my role in all of this. I found 2 pieces of the lost episode of Nutmeg Junction. I had to finish the puzzle. Today, I was taking a chance, literally. It seems Tommy had been in communication with a pair with that surname who might have the audio of the lost episode. If I'm successful, I can put this task aside and work on other cases. You know the kind. The kind that pays the bills, that pays more than pride and a sense of completion. But when you have a partner, you clean up the loose ends. You clear the slate. You finish the past so you can move forward. I'm ready to go forward. I'm on the final leg of my journey to discover the lost episode of Nutmeg Junction, and I won't be stopped. I'm Harriet Holmes, and I'm good at what I do. I didn't become a gumshoe for the love of shoes. My investigation took me to Broughton's Meadow, an idyllic setting in the Pioneer Valley. I stepped off the train and into the station, overlooking an expansive green. I wondered aloud about my exact location.
Look, park.
Come again?
I mean, look, there's a park.
So it is. Thanks, stranger. Now, can you point me in the direction of the library? I came upon a library. Without gilding the lily too much, I'd describe it as a lovely edifice in any setting, but it was especially remarkable among the autumn foliage. I stepped inside, and located in the center of a room, a long table with sets of books upon them, and multiple rows of chairs in front. To the side was a large poster stating, "Today, chance encounters, murders, mysteries, and social etiquette techniques of Nathaniel and Netta Chance." The VIPs were unmistakable. In their finest dinner party attire, Netta and Nathaniel Chance were holding court. But as I approached, I noticed something was slightly amiss. And when Netta removed her jacket, an audible gasp was heard. "Your arm! It's bleeding!"
"Oh, this? Oh, I hardly noticed. It's just a reminder of the murderer we just dispatched. I think we'll call it the Nonotuck incident, Nathaniel."
"You were wonderful, darling."
"Quite right."
"We solved the mystery at the mill fundraiser. A harrowing bit of business in spots, eh, Netta?"
"Yes. Something about catching a culprit makes him or her all bothered to the point of distress, don't you know? You see, it seems murderers rather regret being found out. They tend to react with vigor."
"But you are equal to the task. Let me see if I can find something for the war wound, as it were, Netta."
"Something medicinal, perhaps? A rosé would be appropriate."
"I'm so sorry. There's no adult beverages allowed in the library."
"Hear that, Nathaniel? No adult beverages. Better just stick to brandy."
"Quite right. I should have something here."
"Well, you're going through the bag. I'm here for a specific reason."
"Not to worry. You'll have your signed book along with everyone else, dear thing. Mind the cue, don't you know?"
"My name is Harriet Holmes. I'm in private investigations."
"How fun."
"Been to the wars yourself a few times, have you?"
"I've had my share of scrapes, but I'm here on business. My former partner was in communication with you. Tommy Newsome."
"Oh, yes. Looking for story from us. Former partner. Did he hop the old twig, as it were?"
"Poor dear. He was asking us about a lost episode of Nutmeg Junction. A murder mystery. A crime illustrator of sorts. All in good fun."
Would you have the audio somewhere in your bag, along with the brandy and books?
My word, here it is. Must have placed it in here before the Thriller and Lemonster incident. Don't you remember, Netta?
Well, how could I forget? Here you are. Here's the audio of the story.
Thank you. Finding this piece of the puzzle, it meant a lot to Tommy. So it means a lot to me.
Now that you're here, do you want to buy a signed copy of our book?
Oh. Well, I can only carry so much, of course.
We'll give her 10% off the cover price.
Oh, hey.
What are you talking about?
Okay. We'll give you all 10% off.
With a book in my hand and the audio in my pocket, I made my way back to the station. While on the train, I played back the audio and listened to the final piece of the lost episode of Nutmeg Junction.
The Permanent Globe Company proudly presents Trace Duggins, Crime Illustrator. You know, Charlie.
What's that, narrator?
This is the season when families all around the world bring out their globes so the young and the young at heart can learn something about the world.
Yeah, just around this time last year, the missus and I pulled out the family globe and looked at all the places we weren't going to visit this year.
That's right, Charlie. Every good home deserves to have a quality globe in their living room. Who wants to be the one household without one? That's why the Permanent Globe Company is there to fulfill all your family's globe needs.
And it's the Permanent Globe Company, because things are always going to stay permanent, just the way they are today.
That's right, Charlie. Everyone knows the names and boundaries of countries will never change, so you can rely on the quality craftsmanship and permanent nature of a globe from the Permanent Globe Company.
It's such a great investment. We have one globe in every room of our studio apartment.
Ladies and gentlemen, every week at this time, the Permanent Globe Company of Leominster, Massachusetts, on behalf of their 3 employees and almost as many customers, brings to your radio dial the adventures of Trace Duggins, Crime Illustrator. And today is no exception. Our adventure for tonight, Still Life, at a premium. We bring you now inside the offices of Whoops Insurance Company, where a fateful phone call is about to take place.
Whoops Insurance Company, Maud speaking. No, I'm sorry, you have the wrong number.
Okay, so maybe we showed up too soon. Okay, it's this phone call here.
Whoops Insurance Company, Maud Patterson speaking.
Maud Patterson, this is Sal Grimley. I'd like to talk about my life insurance policy. How much coverage do I have now?
Why, it looks like you have the $500 special.
The premiums are $500? Outrageous!
No, the benefit is $500. The premium's only $50 a year.
Ah, and if I wanted a $100 billion benefit?
We don't sell that benefit amount, but I can guarantee if we did, the premiums would be more than $50 a year.
What's the highest benefit amount I can get without additional paperwork or medical forms or pesky questions?
There's the basic policy at $25,000. The premium increase is...
That's fine.
Is anything wrong, Mr. Grimley?
No. And can you bind the agreement over the phone?
Bind the agreement? Well, you'd still need to send the premiums.
If you receive today's mail, you'll find a payment, I believe, which should be sufficient.
Oh, it's here. Got it. An envelope for Grimley's Grime Remover LLC. That must be from you. Ah, and there's cash here. That should more than cover the premium increase for a month.
All I wanted to know.
Mr. Grimley? Grimley?
Anyway, that's why they won't let me back into Canada.
Oh, Trace Duggins. Doesn't take a reporter to know hockey is taken very seriously up there.
Live and learn, eh? I still think throwing out the first puck is a good idea. Just maybe not from the stands and not at the opposing team's mascot.
Now, why I came in here was to get you to come with me. Chief needs us to go to the end-of-the-road motel.
You mean the old motel just on the edge of the city limits? Why do we want to go there?
Because there's a dead body there, and the paper needs Trace Duggan's crime illustrator to capture the scene.
Let me get my pencils, sharpener, and paper, and I'll be ready to go.
Well, what about erasers?
Only amateur crime illustrators need erasers. Come on, let's go.
Oh, just what we need. Reporters at the scene.
One reporter and one artist. I'm Trace Duggins, crime illustrator.
Why don't you just take photos?
Oh, I have a photographic memory, officer. Don't you worry. But we find the important details are often only identified by an artist. That's where I come in.
Normally we wouldn't want outsiders at a crime scene while we're still investigating, but I guess it's okay in this instance. The case solves itself. The poor fellow must have done himself in.
Has anything been moved since the body was discovered?
No, why do you ask?
Just making sure. When Trace captures the scene on paper, he captures it just the way it was when the body fell. Then we'll have a good indication of what really happened.
Here's the rough sketch. You'll notice the perspective is both dramatic and yet also true to life.
I like the shading technique, Trace.
That's why I used the 4B pencil. It's soft while still adding enough graphite onto the paper to darken it, but not too dark like the 6B. You can see the light source coming in from the window just here.
And that's a good likeness of me.
There's a nice twinkle in the eye that isn't there too often in person.
Captured him at the right time, I guess.
Wish you could have shaved off a few pounds for me, though.
I draw what I see, officer. It's the integrity of the art. Hit the gym if you want the next drawing to be flattering. At the next murder.
Murder? Oh, now I see. You're right, Trace.
How do you call it murder? What's your proof?
Can't you see it in the drawing? There's a broken window where the light is coming in, and look at the body. There's a bullet hole in the back. It's murder.
Let me through. Let me through.
It's all right. Let her in.
Oh, it can't be. No. Sal had everything to live for. He said it to me himself just today.
You saw your husband today?
No. I'm not married to Grimley. I'm his administrative assistant, Miss Suspecton.
How did you know to come here, Miss Suspecton?
I'll do the questioning if you don't mind.
All right, officer.
How did you know to come here, Miss Suspecton?
Good question. Both of you.
It was in the appointment book. I was to get here at 1 p.m. That's what it is now. Actually, 10 minutes before. You know what they say. 10 minutes early is on time.
Meeting here at the motel? Were you... was there a personal relationship here with the deceased?
No! Grimley doesn't like to drive. So I had the item on the itinerary to pick him up here. I assumed to bring him back to the office.
A motel's a strange meeting point for a person who doesn't like to drive.
Are you sure there wasn't anything more to the relationship?
What do you mean, Trace?
See what I've drawn here? A portrait of Mrs. Specton. And note, the left hand.
Oh, there's a slight indentation on the left ring finger, as if there used to be a ring that had been there for a long time but has been removed just recently.
And there's a small, similarly sized indent in the jacket pocket. Could be keys, but that's probably in her purse.
I usually remove my wedding ring when I drive. It bothers me when it rubs against the wheel.
Really? Miss Suspecton, we might have a few more questions for you. Down at the station.
No more questions for me, Robin. I think we need to go visit the deceased family.
Let's go.
I'm sorry. Ms. Grimsley isn't seeing any visitors.
We're not on a social call. We're from the paper.
The paper? Is there a problem with our subscription?
No, but thank you for subscribing. Local newspapers are essential to the fabric of a thriving civilization, especially one with democratic principles. I'm Trace Duggins, Illustrator.
Ms. Grimsley is a fan of your work, particularly the watercolors.
Tell her if we get a conversation, I'll bring out the brushes, but you'll have to provide the tap water.
One moment.
Think she'll see us?
I hope so. Fortunately, I keep a pan of watercolors taped to the opposite side of my belt. They're not as good as the tubes, but they're far more portable.
Where do you keep the brush?
That's a rather personal question.
She says to come in.
Mr. Duggins, a pleasure to meet you. Unfortunate that it has to be under these circumstances. Here's some water and an easel, so you can do your art easily.
Thank you, Miss Grimley. But if you don't mind me saying, you don't sound too cut up about your recent loss.
Ms. Grimley, you don't have to answer Mr. Duggan's impertinent implication.
That's all right, Chadwick. It's no secret that we had problems.
And what problems were those, if you don't mind telling us?
Sal was far too impressionable, in the sense that he was far too impressed by impressionists and abstract art. He loved bad art to the point of absurdity. He was never into anything real. Do you know what I mean by real, Mr. Duggins?
I think so, Miss Grimley. But it seems given the sheer volume of the house and the number of walls within it, as patrons of the arts, you could accommodate lots of styles and many forms of media without acrimony.
I had to put my foot down at home. But have you seen his collection at the office? After a while, I couldn't even go there anymore. So many Kandinsky wannabes on the wall. The problem with Sal was that he only liked art other people said was good, not actually good art.
Not like you, Miss Grimley. You seem to have put up some impressive paintings by Rockwell, Hopper. Lots of realists represented here.
I like illustrators, Mr. Duggins. Is that so wrong?
Miss Grimley, I implore you. Perhaps you should continue this discussion with a lawyer present.
That's all right, Miss Grimley. We're done here for now.
Can I see your work? You had two sheets of paper out, Mr. Duggins.
That's because during the discussion, I created two pieces of work. Sure, I painted a clear, photorealistic watercolor here, but that one I'm keeping, for the paper. For you, I created a separate one. I depicted the scene in Cubism style!
No!
Yes! Just because an illustrator can depict the real world in exact detail doesn't mean the artist has to. Something to remember, Miss Grimley.
Take your cubism away with you! Take it away!
Oh, a cool customer, eh, Trace? Sounds like someone who benefited from her husband's departure.
Could be, but still, a little strange attitude for someone who might be called into question about it. Wait, the door's opening. Let's hide over here.
That's Ms. Grimley. She's leaving in a hurry.
Wonder why it says she's in such a hurry after our visit.
One way to find out. Get to the car, quick!
Watch those turns, Robin.
We have to catch up to her.
Yes, but with every bump, it's potentially ruining my depiction of her getaway car.
Well, maybe you need to invest in erasers after all.
Maybe you need to invest in some shock absorbers. Or slow down.
There she is, pulling in front of the Whoops Insurance Company building.
Now we're getting somewhere.
How so?
While we wait, I can capture the Hopper-esque quality of this city street, depicting the essence of the isolation and alienation that can occur in the world of insurance.
While you do that, I'll go inside and see if I can see what's going on.
No dice, eh, Robin?
I got inside, but I couldn't get past the security. Still, I saw the face of the insurance agent she was talking to and the nameplate, Maud Patterson. Wait. There she is now. Oh, there's Miss Grimley.
They're leaving. Miss Grimley is going back to her car. But Maud appears to be leaving on foot. Maybe going into that diner over there. It'll really pay homage to Hopper's Nighthawks if we had the time.
Later, Trace. Let's talk to Maud. Excuse me. Maud? Maud Patterson?
Yes.
I'm from the newspaper. And this is
Trace Duggins, our illustrator, our crime illustrator.
Crime? You must be interested in the Grimley case.
How did you know?
It's not every day you're talking on the phone and you hear a gunshot. It was in the police report, so that's why I can talk about that, but not too much more. There are HIPAA laws, you know.
Can you tell me if Miss Grimley is the beneficiary of a life insurance policy?
If she were, I couldn't tell you.
If she wasn't, that wouldn't be a violation of any HIPAA laws, would it?
I'm not a lawyer.
Neither are we. We're just working a story for the paper. And in the meantime, I'm also drawing a quick caricature of you with a marker. You like going to the beach? Sure you do. What's your hobby?
Roller skating?
Perfect. Here you are, roller skating at the beach.
In the sand?
Artistic license. So can you answer if Miss Grimley is not a beneficiary of a life insurance policy?
I can tell you this. I have no paperwork that has her name attached in any capacity. Therefore, she is not a client, customer, or in any way connected to any business of the Whoops Insurance Company.
But if Mr. Grimley was contacting you, as the police report says, then someone else must be the beneficiary.
I'm sorry, I can't answer any more questions, other than what I like at a diner, which is a tuna roll. Are you buying that for me?
No, but there you go. I just added a tuna roll to the caricature. Enjoy it, and your lunch, Maud. We have a lot to chew on ourselves.
So, if Ms. Grimley isn't a beneficiary of a life insurance policy, who would be?
Only one person I can figure. Miss Suspectin.
Oh, no!
I mean, I doubt we're going to meet anyone else here at this late hour as a suspect. So it has to be her.
That's why you had me drive all the way here to the police station where the police are still talking with her.
But I didn't do it. Oh, I know you won't believe me, but I didn't.
Oh, no. Can you prove it?
Well, besides being innocent until proven guilty, I can also say that I was at the Grimley office hanging up abstract art until the appointment time, and then I drove over.
Do you have to punch out, like, on a time clock?
No.
Then you had the opportunity.
And what if she's the beneficiary of the life insurance policy?
That would be the motive. Of course, I'm not sure why they let you in the interrogation room, but that's a good question.
Hold on, Robin. Now that I recall something I was working on, I'm starting to figure something out. Here, take a look.
That's your cubist painting at Ms. Grimley's. What of it?
Now take a look at the realist painting. What do you see?
A very unsatisfied Ms. Grimley in front of a fireplace. Lovely detail of the brickwork.
But look closely. Look behind her, toward the door.
At the butler. Okay. Now, I'm looking at the cubism style. You painted a cube at pocket level. In the realistic painting as well, there's a protrusion in the pocket. And no self-respecting butler would have something so jarring in his pocket unless he had to have it there.
And it's in the exact size of the pistol. In fact, if my eyes don't deceive me, and they never do, it's about the size of a Walter PPK.
Good Lord. That's the exact kind of bullet we located in the body of the deceased.
You can also see a certain longing in the butler's eyes in the painting as he gazes lovingly down at Ms. Grimley.
Of course. Sal always thought there was something odd about Chadwick, which was why he had me pick him up everywhere and not his butler.
Hurry, officer. This time it seems the butler really did it.
So, Chadwick confessed. I guess he always loved Miss Grimley, but she wasn't involved. She didn't even know it.
For some, love is too abstract a concept. At least it was for her, anyway. Poor gal.
Poor Sal! He's the one who got shot, remember? Hey, what made you think to look at the pocket?
We got lucky. I made two paintings. The cubism element really brought out the cube in the pocket representing the gun Chadwick had in his pocket. I guess I remembered that, and it all fit together.
Good thing she didn't take the artwork herself. The butler could have tried to erase the work.
Not that one could erase a watercolor, but I didn't bring an eraser with me anyway, remember? Only amateur crime illustrators need erasers.
What are you gonna do now, Trace?
For now, give the artwork arm a rest. Just sit back and relax and watch some sports, I guess.
Watching some sports events sounds good, Trace, but just don't go back to a hockey game anytime soon.
I guess it's safe to say only the butler's on ice now.
Weave that in somewhere.
Nutmeg Junction, Episode 25, Harriet Holmes, Search for the Last Episode, Part 3, featuring Trace Duggins, Crime Illustrator, was written and directed by J. Timothy Quirk, copyright 2018. The program was recorded at WAPJ Torrington Community Radio and starred Olivia Wadsworth as Harriet Holmes, Miss Suspecton and Mrs. Grimley, Kurt Moffitt as Trace Duggins, with Lana Peck as the narrator and Netta Chance, Kurt Boucher as Sal Grimley and Nathaniel Chance, Melissa Gabehart as Maud Patterson and Stranger on the Train, Jandy Hanna as Robin the Reporter and the Librarian, Josh Newey as the Policeman, and Rich Sear as the Butler Chadwick. We thank you for listening to Nutmeg Junction, which has our corresponding website at www.nutmegjunction.com and a Facebook page and a Twitter page of the same name. We hope you enjoyed it, and may all your journeys bring you back to a happy home.